שבוע טוב ומבורך. בעזרת השם, we continue our study of the Sefer Tehillim of David HaMelech Alav Shalom. Zekato Yagen Anenu, Amen. We are studying tonight the Tehillim, chapter 145, Perek Kuf Mem Heh, which is one of the most famous chapters in the entire book of Tehillim. That is the chapter that we customarily refer to as Ashrei. But there's a misconception. Really, the chapter doesn't begin with the word Ashrei. It begins with the word Tehillah de David. It's the only chapter that begins with the word Tehillah, because this is the ultimate praise that David HaMelech gives to Borei Olam. So why do we call it then Ashrei? So the Chachamim tell us in Gemara that since this chapter says that somebody that praises God in this world will have a merit to praise Borei Olam in the next world as well. It seems that the next world is Yeshiva Shel Ma'ala, and based on a person's behavior in this world, that's going to be his ultimate destiny in the next world. That's why the beginning of the chapter begins. Tehillah le David, the praise of David. Aromimcha Elohai HaMelech, which means I will exalt you, my king. Va'abarecha Shemcha le'olam va'ed, and I will bless you forever and ever. Which means, if I praise you in this world, I will merit to praise you, le'olam va'ed. So since that's the main theme, as we're going to see in the chapter, so the Achamim saw it befitting to begin the chapter, at least what we say it in the Pesukim de Zimra, with a pasuk that comes from the 84th chapter of Tehillim. Ashrei yoshevei betecha, od yehalelu chaseva, which is the same concept. What does it mean? Ashrei yoshevei betecha. Fortunate are those that sit in your house, in your home. What is God's home? The Bet Midrash, or the Bet Knesset. And what do they do in the Bet Knesset? They sing the praises of Hashem. And what does it say of those that sit in the house of God? Od yehalelu chaseva. Od means in the future they will continue to praise. So since the chapter is talking about the praise of God, le'olam va'ed, so it befitting to start the chapter with that pasuk, Ashrei yoshevei betecha, od yehalelu chaseva. Now, once already we chose to start off with the word Ashrei, so we added another pasuk to the chapter, at least during the pasukim de Zimra. And that is Ashrei ha'am shekachano, Ashrei ha'am she'adonai Elohav. Where did that pasuk come from? It's the last pasuk of the last chapter. If you look at the last pasuk in Kuf Mem Dalet, Ashrei ha'am shekachano, Ashrei ha'am she'adonai Elohav. So therefore, it's a continuation, which means really we should have started off with Tehillah le David. But once already we added Ashrei from chapter 84. So put another Ashrei. Might as well start off with the second Ashrei. Now what does that pasuk mean? Ashrei ha'am shekachano. Fortunate is the nation shekachano that is as such. Ashrei ha'am shehashem elohav. That what? That has God as his God. We're lucky that we are the chosen people. I heard once a derasha on this pasuk. The Jewish people are loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sense that we fulfill his mitzvot because he told us to fulfill them. We don't always demand a reason or a logic. Sometimes when you go to a Jew and you say, why are you doing this? What does he answer? Kacha. Kacha. Because you don't know the reason? That's the best you could say. Kacha. So it is. So the pasuk says, Ashrei ha'am shekacha lo. Fortunate is the nation that fulfills the mitzvot kacha, because Say, I'm Hashem and Ra'av. That's the best answer you could say. Kacha, I don't know why. Hashem tells me to do it. The Pasuk says, fortunate is a nation that fulfills the mitzvot, kacha. Shrei Ha'am Shekacha, they're always saying kacha. I saw another interpretation as well. We are lucky because we had a leader, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu not only brought the Torah down to us, he was the conduit between us and Borei Olam. We needed a connector. Kevyachol, the Shekhinah is a very, very high voltage. If you don't have the proper wires that can conduct the electricity of the Shekhinah, we would not be able to receive it. Who was the conductor for us? Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're lucky, because he connects us to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He was able to go up to the fire and bring down the Torah to us. So they say, Remez, the gematria of Moshe is how much? Moshe is 345. Shekacha is how much? 345. Shin is 300. Kacha is chaf chaf, is 40. He is 5. Ashrei ha'am, shekacha lo. We're so lucky that we have shekacha. Who shekacha? Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekacha lo. Lo is Moshe. Ashrei ha'am, shehashem elohav yaminu badonai, u'moshe abdo. So that's the opening verse of the opening verses, the introductory verses of the chapter. I keep you reminded that the Gemara in Berachot Daf Dalit says, whoever says this chapter three times a day, muftach lo shehu ben ha'olam haba. Wow, it's guaranteed olam haba. We say it in Pesukei Dezimra, we say it again after Amidah Shachrit, and we say it again in Mincha. So the Gemara says, so important. What makes this perek so important that if you say it three times, it ensures you olam haba? So the Gemara says two things. Number one, because it's written in the sequence of Aleph Bet. As we will notice, every pasuk starts with another letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Actually, each pasuk, like here, Aron Mchalo Hayam Melech, Bechol Yom Abarecheka, Gadol Hashem Mlal Me'od, Dor Ledor Yishabach Ma'asecha. Besides one letter, the letter Nun, which is not an Ashre, at least in the beginning of a Pasuk, which we'll see why. But besides that, it seems any chapter that's written in an Aleph Bet sequence, David HaMelech is showing us that it has extra importance. Just like the Hebrew alphabet is integral to the religion, without a Hebrew alphabet, you have nothing. The Hebrew alphabet is everything. The whole Torah is in the Hebrew alphabet. So too, any chapter that he wrote in Aleph Bet, he's teaching us it's as integral as the alphabet. Secondly, why Aleph Bet chapters are very important is because when you have a chapter that's written in Aleph Bet sequence, it's easy to remember the chapter. Because you want to know what the pasuk is. You say, it starts with a gimel. Gadol Hashem Olam Me'od. Then you think, what's the next pasuk? Dor Ledor. Since it's written in Aleph Bet, it's easy to remember. Any perek that David wanted the reader to remember by heart, he put an Aleph Bet. Why did he want us to know it by heart? Obviously there was fundamental foundation principles in the chapter. So the Gemara says, number one, because it's written by Aleph Bet. And number two, because it has in it a very important pasuk. Because it talks about that God gives sustenance and livelihood to the entire creation, which really is the basis of our faith, that all our parnasa comes to God, from God. And therefore, when a person says that three times a day before he goes to work, in the middle of his work day, you give the sustenance to everybody, it bolsters his faith, and the man that has faith goes to Olam Abba. That's why the chapter is so important. Incidentally, if you count the amount of letters that are in the chapter, there's exactly 150 words in the Perek, corresponding to the 150 chapters in the Tehillim, which means David HaMelech encapsulated all the Kiddusha of the whole book of Tehillim in the one chapter of Tehillah le David. That's how important it is. Therefore one has to be careful to make sure he recites every single word. Now I know some of you are thinking, what, it's so easy? You say Ashrei 3 times a day, Muftah lo she'olam haba. So there's a famous story of the Hatam Sofer. What happened with the Hatam Sofer? A fellow came to him. He wasn't religious. He wasn't observant. The Hatam Sofer said, you're not scared? You're not scared? You're not going to live forever. The day's going to come, you're going to have to give Din v'hashbon. He said, what are you talking about, Rabbi? I'm Muftah lo she'olam haba. I'm guaranteed to go to Allah Baba. Why are you guaranteed? I say Ashrei 3 times a day. That's what I do. I believe one line in the Gemara. So the Hatam Sofer, he laughed at him. As he's about to answer him, what happened? One of the boys of the yeshiva came into the rabbi. And he had a very bad cold. So he told the rabbi, he doesn't know what to do. It's a chronic cold. It doesn't go away. The rabbi says, what are you doing for it? He says, I'm taking pills. He says, okay, but where are you boarding? Where are you sleeping? He says, I sleep in a damp, cold cellar. So the Hatam Sofer says, you're in an environment of cold. A pill is not going to be able to take away the sickness. You need to take yourself away from the environment. And then the pill is going to help you. Then he turned back to this fellow. He said, you hear what I just told this boy? The same thing applies to you. Ashrei is like a pill. If somebody is in a proper environment of spirituality, he's fulfilling the mitzvah, but he has a minor spiritual ailment, by saying Ashrei 3 times a day, it can cure him. However, if a person is delinquent, and a person is in an environment that's void of spirituality, even if he says Ashrei 50 times a day, it's not going to cure him from his ailment. And therefore, there's no magic tricks. Of course, the Gemara is correct. But it's when a person is following all the other mitzvot as well. So if a person makes a mistake here and there, Ashrei will push him through. Also, it should be known. There are other chapters that are also written in Aleph Bet, and there's other chapters that also talk about Parnasa. For example, there's a chapter that we read, our custom is Faradim, is to read in Mincha of Shabbat. Alleluia. Ode Adonai bechol lebab, besod yesharim ve'ayda. Now that chapter also was written in Aleph Bet. Ode Hashem bechol lebab, besod yesharim ve'ayda, gedolim ma'ase Hashem, derushim bechol chafseim, hod ve'hadar pa'olo, ve'sidkato omedet lahar, hanun ve'rahom Hashem, teref natan nire'av, Yizkor le'olam berito. So, it has everything. It has Aleph Bet, and it also talks about God giving Parnasa. Teref Natan Lire'av. God gives sustenance to those that fear Him. So why did we choose Tehillah le David and not Hallelujah Odeh Hashem Bechol Lebab? That's the question that the Gaon de Vilna asked. The Gaon answers, because this Perek is better. In that chapter, what does it say? Teref Natan li Re'av. That God gives sustenance to those that fear Him. In this chapter it says, Umasbiya Lechol Hay. And therefore, everybody's included in this chapter. Therefore, it's on a higher level. Okay. Be'azat Hashem, let's try to go through the Pesukim. As quick as we can, just so because I want to get the whole chapter in, and we can make some insights as we go through. Pay attention again, because this is very important. This is not just applicable for your knowledge. You need to institute this tomorrow morning when you start the tefillah. So those that are writing have an advantage in order to add these notes to your sidur. Okay. Tehillah David. We explained the first pasukim already. Tehillah David. It's the only chapter that begins again with praise of David. Which literally means, I exalt you, my king. The way the Mefarshim say is, I exalt you and I praise you, no matter what you do. Not like the idolaters. Person worships Avodah Zarah, so he worships the Avodah Zarah as long as he's enjoying good fortune. Once his mazal goes bad, what does he do? He throws this Avodah Zarah out and he goes and moves to a different Avodah Zarah. We're not like that. We're loyal to Hashem, Arumimcha, Elohai, HaMelech. You are my king, which means forever under all circumstances. As we said, those that praise Hashem in this world have the merit to praise Him in the next world. If you remember, in one of our Shiurim in the Tehillim, I explained to you that there's a misconception of what the value of the book of Tehillim is. Something Tehillim is a book of sigulot. Where if somebody's sick, you take out the book of Tehillim and you say the chapters. As one rabbi once said, Tehillim stands for to heal him, to make him better, to heal him. But of course it has that value. But Tehillim's main function is to praise Hashem. You don't have to take the Tehillim out just because somebody's sick. The purpose of the Tehillim is because you have an obligation in this world to praise Hashem. Like it says, Arumimcha Elohai HaMelech, I will praise you, sing your praises. And you're going to see the whole chapter is that concept. So David gave us a book. We're not so eloquent. We don't have a poetry like David HaMelech. So he gave us a book where he praised God and he gives us the ability to sing the same praises. Those that praise God in this world will have the ability to bless God's name forever. Every day I will bless you. The Pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. To teach us over here that every single day is a new blessing. Every single day offers a person new opportunities. Every day gives a person different kohot. No 2 days are the same. Every single day has a different tikkun. The tikkun that you could do today, you cannot do tomorrow. Every Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and every Shabbat is different. And therefore, Abarecha ubechol yom Abarecheka. That's what the Rashash wrote. But Rosh Shalom Shel Rabbi says, no Amidah is the same. Because every Amidah that you pray, based on who's praying it, the day he's praying it, the hour he's praying it, the minute he's praying it, the second he's praying it, all hits at different moments. So, b'chol yom, abarecheka. V'alela shemcha l'olam v'ayit. And again, since I praise you every day in this world, v'alela shemcha l'olam v'ayit, I have the ability to praise you, l'olam v'ayit in the future. Gadol Hashem u'mu'lal me'od. The Ibn Ezra explains this pasuk over here. Gadol Hashem. Hashem is great. Umhulal me'od. His praises are so great that we cannot even attempt to praise Him fully. Umhulal me'od. A mortal king, you could praise Him. There's a limit how much you could praise Him. However, Kadosh Baruch Hu, His praises are so great that no mortal human being can reach the level. That's what it means. Gadol Hashem is so umhulal me'od. His hilul is so great that it's beyond the ability for a mortal to do Hashem justice in the praises. V'negdulato en heker. And to God's greatness, there is no heker. There is no limit. Some say the word heker over here means there's no investigation. Hakirat Aydim. But when this has come into the courtroom, you have to make Bidikan Hakira. Bidikdatu and Hakir, which means, as much as we investigate into the wonders of the creation, and Hakir. Like one rabbi said, a philosopher, the more God reveals Himself to us, the more we realize how much we don't know. Which means, even in the science, whenever they come with the revelation in the human body of a new chromosome or a new breakthrough in one of the parts of the body, all of a sudden it opens to them a whole new world. The more they uncover, the more they realize how much they don't know. And therefore, v'lignunato en heker. No investigations. Because the more you investigate, the more you see that it's much deeper. The fool thinks he understands everything. But the hacham, the more he sees, the more he realizes, and okay, what am I investigating? It's deeper than we can fathom. Don li don yishabach ma'asecha, umborotecha yagidu. The way we explain this pasuk is as follows. In order really to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu the proper praise, we cannot praise Him alone, because we only see the greatness of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in our lifetime. But there are many generations that preceded us. So in order for us to get a full picture of how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, we need to go back in history to hear the stories of the previous generations. That's why most of our religion is always recounting Yisya'at Mitzrayim, the Nes of Purim, the Nes of Hanukkah, the miracles of HaSinai. It's always commemorative, because we cannot only understand Hashem in the present. That's what the pasuk says. Dor ledor yishabach ma'asecha. You need to recollect history of all the stories of the previous generations, not only in a general sense, but even in a personal sense. As parents and as grandparents, you're able to instill in your children the emunah by telling them stories that happened to you. They don't know those stories about the hashkacha pratit, about the different personal miracles that each person experienced. Dor ledor yishabach ma'asecha. From generation to generation, they will pass on your praises. Uchburotecha yagidu. The Mefashim say, anytime it says Gibura in Tehillim or the Tefillah, it refers to supernatural. The Teva, they refer to as Malchut. Whenever they say Gibura, Gibura literally means strength. Why is Gibura referring to things that are above nature? God created the world with a certain system. Like the Ramban writes in Sefer Bereshit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Teva. He likes that system. That's why He created it in the Teva. It's a natural order. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running that order, but it runs in a system. He created that system, and His infinite wisdom, He likes that system. But once in a while, HaKadosh Baruch Hu overrides the system. He overrides the system of Teva in order to make a miracle. That's called Gibura. Gibura means when somebody goes against their nature. Ezo HaGibor HaKoveshet Yisroel. When you overcome your natural instinct, that's called Gibura. The natural instinct of the world is what? Teva. However, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something above the Teva, it's ki'ilu, he's mitkabir. He goes against his nature. So that's why we say, not only am I going to tell over the natural stories, the Hashkaha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uchburotecha, the Giburav, the supernatural miracles, Yagidu, I will say over. And that's the next pasuk as well. Hadar kevod hodecha. So listen to what this pasuk means. Kevod hodecha is referring to the splendor of the creation. V'devre nifleotecha is referring to nifleot ha-boreh. That's the miracles, the supernatural miracles. Asiha means, I will converse. David HaMelech is saying, you know what my conversation is going to be? The conversation of every Jew should be Hadar kevod odecha v'devren feotecha. That should be your conversation with people. Instead of talking about things that are of no importance, When you meet somebody, talk about the wonderful creation. Talk about the wonderful miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in the world. There's an abundant, an infinite amount of genius, of emunah that a person can absorb from looking at the world. So David says, I commit myself. You know what my siha is going to be? Hadar kemod odecha v'debrenu v'otecha. Whenever I come to talk to somebody, it's going to be on that subject. But I heard another explanation. The word Hadar, Hadar can mean the splendor, Hadar kevod odecha, the splendor of your glory, which is the nature, or Hadar can mean to go back. Lahzor in Aramaic. Hadar is to return. So they say that when a person sees the splendor of God, what happens? Hadar, he stands back. When he sees one of the great wonders of the world, he's in awe. So what happens? He recoils. He's so amazed by the event or by the scene, so it causes him to step back. So he says, Hadar kevod odecha. Your kevod odecha is going to cause me to retract or to move back from the great presence. Ve'ezuz nor otecha yomeru. Ugdolatecha asaperena. What is Nor Otecha? We say in Amidah, Ha'el Gadol Gibor Van Nora. Literally, we would say Nora is awesome. But Nora also means Melashon Yir'ah. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu does judgment in the world, he's Nora. He causes us to have fear of him. When we see great tragedies and great troubles that happen, major catastrophes, say, wow, Nora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa shiru mefanav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that we should fear him. That's called Nora. The tzaddikim, they don't praise God as a God that's a God of retribution and that's a God of punishment. Even though they know that's true. But they're on a higher level. To the tzaddik, he sees everything is good. That there's no such thing as punishment. There's no such thing as retribution. Everything that Hashem Baruch Hu does is for a reason. Everything is for a tikkun. Everything is right. So therefore, David says, Ve'ezuz nor otecha yomeru. They talk about nor otecha. But me and the tzaddikim, ugdulatecha asaperenna. We talk about your gedulah. Gedulah is chesed. We say in Amidah, Elohe Avraham, Elohe Yitzchak, Elohe Yaakov. Avraham is chesed. Then what do we say? Hayla gadol, hagibor, vehanura. Hagadol is kenegad Avraham. Gadol is chesed. So the regular people, they're shocked. Ve'ezuz nor otecha. They see the power of your nor otecha, of your judgment. However, the tzaddik, we see only chesed in everything you do. Now, if you look in your siddurim, or maybe some of your books have it, next to the word udulatecha, you see there's a kare uchtiv over here. Really, the proper spelling should be udulatecha with a yud. Gedulatecha with a yud means gedulot shelcha. God doesn't only have one great thing. God has many greatnesses. But we don't read it that way. We read it without a yud. We read ugdulatecha. Not ugdulatecha. So the Mefarshim say, what happened to the yud? It's grammatically incorrect. See you there?
It says gdulotecha.
Ugdulotecha. Very good. Which means, that's if you have a yud. But if you're missing a yud, it's ugdula. Dlatecha, what happened to the yud? So the Mefarshim say like this. This is the Radak. He writes, of course God has many gedolot. But the goyim, when they see many things in the world, that caused them to believe that there's many gods. There's the god of wind, there's the god of rain, there's the god of sun. So in order to not fall into that belief, David HaMelech writes it in a singular tense. So therefore, the Gedulot are really a Gedulah. Their source is from one Gedulah, from one entity. So it's a plural Gedulah from a singular source. Zecher Rav Tubcha Yabi'u V'Sidchatecha Yiranenu. Here David HaMelech says, the goal of praising God is not to keep it to yourself, to keep it ben Adam the Makom. Once already you come to the level of understanding the greatness of Hashem, the greatness of Hashem can be in many ways. The creation from the Torah, you see how beautiful the Torah is, also a creation of God. So when a person sees the Torah, he's seeing the wonders of Hashem. So then David HaMelech says, Zecher Rav Tubcha Yabi'u. I'm going to utter it. I'm going to speak it. Now the word Yabi'u means Lashon Noveya, like a wellspring. The wellspring never ends. The water just keeps on. So the David HaMelech is trying to say, my praises are not just going to be sporadic. That once in a while, Zecher Rav Tubcha, your greatness and your goodness that you do in the world, Yabi'u. It has to be something that sprouts forth. Then it's even on a higher level. Not only am I going to utter it, but yirenenu, the tzaddik eventually reaches a level where his praise of God manifests itself into song, where it's a renu, it's a rena, where he's able to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch. Now, since this chapter is so important and it's so vital, David HaMelech wanted to stick in there some of the Yag Midot. The Yag Midot are the 13 attributes of mercy. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rahum V'Hanun, Erech Apai, Rav Chesed V'Emeh, Rav Chesed V'Apim, Sa'avom V'Shat V'Nakeh. He didn't put all 13 in the Mizmor, but he gives us 5 out of the 13. The next Pesukim, it's so amazing, we don't pay attention. But you read it and you see all of a sudden he sticks in Yag Midot. How? Hanun v'rahum Hashem erech apayim ugdol hasid. Boom. In that one pasuk you have 5 of them. Hashem kel rahum v'hanun. Hashem kel rahum v'hanun. So that's 3. Erech apayim v'rav hasid. Now let's just review quickly what they are. Hanun is melashon chinam. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us, even though we don't deserve it. Nobody should think, of course I earned it. What did we earn? We're always in the red. We always owe a Kadosh Baruch Hu because he's so generous with us. So therefore, whatever he gives us is matanat hanam, hanun. What does virahum mean? Virahum means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as rahmanut, he doesn't punish us for the sins that we commit. Kadosh Baruch Hu has Rahmanut on us. Normally, a regular king, once a person rebels against the king, they execute him immediately. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rahum. What is Hashem? Hashem is a higher level. Hashem means that even at the time of sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sustaining us. Which means when we speak, somebody speaks Lashon Hara, his body is still functioning when he's speaking Lashon Hara. Who's making his heart beat? Hashem. Who's making the blood run through his veins? Hashem. Who's giving him oxygen? Hashem. Borei Olam, you're so merciful that even at the time of rebellion, it's like Kiviyachon Abdil. A guy goes to the king and he's pelting the king with rocks. And what's the king doing? The king is holding on to an oxygen tank that the guy's breathing from. And as the guy's throwing rocks at the king is making sure that the oxygen is going. What are you giving? Cut it off. He's throwing rocks at you. That's Hashem. That even at the time of sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on us. So again, Hanun V'Rahum Hashem Erech Apayim. God is not only Rahum, He doesn't kill us at the time of the sin, but He's patient. He waits many years before he takes retribution. Why? Because he wants to give us a chance to make teshuvah. Erech apayim ugdol hasid. Udul Hasid is connected with Rav Hasid. What does Rav Hasid mean? The person's scale, let's say, 50-50. He needs one extra mitzvah to tip the scales. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He takes off one of the avirot. He removes an avirah. Ma'avir rishon rishon. He takes off the first couple of avirot. What ends up happening? The scales tip in our favor. So therefore we say, Ugdol Hasid. He elevates the Hasid by removing some of the avirot, which means when a person goes to the store and he's buying, let's say, vegetables or something. So sometimes the merchant, when he puts it on the scale, he doesn't want it, it's too close. What does he do? He throws a couple of extra string beans in there. Extra. So he doesn't want to steal a couple of pennies this way, that way. He gives him a couple of extra. The same thing, he doesn't judge us exactly like it is. Good. So again, from the fact that it has the 5 of the 13 midot, shows you again what an important chapter it is. טוב אדוני לכל ורחביו על כל מעשה. So now we go into a famous pasuk. God is good to everybody, even the Rasha'im. Even the Rasha gets sustenance, even the Rasha has life. Even though there's another pasuk in Tehillim, it says, טוב השם לקובב. God is good to those that anticipate Him. That's a contradiction. Is it lakol or lakobav? So one rabbi said in Mashal, he said, when you have a person in a garden, you have fruit and you have weeds. When he goes to water the garden, he waters the whole garden. The weeds also benefit. However, when it comes to pruning the garden, that already he takes the weeds out and he leaves the fruit. So you have tov Hashem lakol. In a time, good times, when God sends that panasa, everybody benefits. But tov Hashem lekobav. But at the time of the pruning, then already he pulls out the weeds, and the tzaddikim remain. V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. This comes to include even the animals. V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. Doesn't say on human beings. Even on the animals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy. The famous story in the Gemara with Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh one time was walking. So there was a calf, a small little animal, that was on the way to the slaughterhouse. What happened? It ran away, and it ran under the cloak of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. It was scared, it didn't want to get slaughtered. Rabbeinu HaKadosh tells the little animal, "What are you doing over here? Lech, go! Lekach notzarta. That's what you were created for. You were created to be slaughtered. Get out of here." HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was a little tough on the animal. V'rachamav al kol ma'asav, it says, he has mercy. What are you being so strict? As a result of the way Rabbeinu HaKadosh treated the animal, he had yisurin. How many years did he suffer? 13 years, the Gemara says. 13 years of yisurin. When did they go away? One day, he was on the porch, and there was a weasel on the porch. And the Rabbeinu HaKadosh's maid took a broom and started to shoo the weasel. Rabbeinu HaKadosh said, "V'rachamav al kol ma'asav, leave him alone." V'rachamav al kol. Oh, Borei Olam says, "Now you made your tikkun. Now you made your teshuva." So you see how important it is. Not only that, the Rama brings down in the halacha, when a person gets a new suit, so the custom is, what do we tell him? Tithaddesh. Tithaddesh, enjoy it. Enjoy it, it should become hadash to you, and tithballe, it should wear out, and you should be in good health, and you should get a new one. However, we don't say tithaddesh when a person gets a new pair of shoes. Why, he says? Because you had to kill an animal. So since you had to kill an animal, not that tithaddesh, well, at somebody else's expense, at the animal's expense. So you see, even the halakha is sensitive to such a thing. Furthermore, the Rama writes in Yorei De'ah, an interesting halakha. Normally, we have a custom. Not a custom, a deen. Anytime we do a mitzvah for the first time, we make shehayanu. So he asks, let's say you have a shochet. He went to school to learn shehayta for how many years? Now he gets his knife, and he's going to make shehayta for the first time. It's a mitzvah. How come we don't make Shehiyanu on the first time you make Shechita? What is the answer? Because since you have to kill an animal, you can't say Shehiyanu v'kiyemanu, because it's the expense of the animal. Based on this, I heard once, brought down in the books, that that's why we don't make Shehiyanu on Tefillin. The Chaura, Bar Mitzvah boy, he makes Shehiyanu on the Talit. Because to get a Talit, you don't have to kill the animal. You just shear the animal, but the animal remains alive. But to get a Tefillin, it's on the hide of the animal. And therefore we cannot make a Shehiyanu on the Tefillin, because it's the expense. Ad kedei kach, the Torah is a sensitivity, v'rahamav al kol ma'asav. Yoducha Adonai kol ma'asecha, v'hasidecha yibarichucha. Now here the Pasuk says, Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha, all the creation will praise you. There's a book called Perek Shira. Over there in the book of Perek Shira, it tells us that each part of the creation sings one of the praises of Hashem. You don't hear it, but if you have the proper ears, the sun sings a praise, the frog sings a praise, the scorpion sings a praise. All those noises that the animals are making is actually Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha. The whole creation is actually giving thanks to Hashem. V'hasidecha yivarechucha. So, I'm going to explain what does it mean v'hasidecha yivarechucha. Why is it called a hasid? Hasid is somebody that's... So the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Hayman, the person wants to become a Hasid, Yizaher b'mile de berachot. Let him be careful in berachot. Simply it means berachot. Shakun yad baro, kavana, bore pri'ayet with kavana. If a person is careful and is berachot, so he's Hasid. But I have another explanation to this. At the end of Gemara Berachot, in the ninth perek, it gives us many different berachot that you're able to say to praise a Kadosh Baruch Hu on the creation. If you hear thunder, you see lightning, you see a rainbow, you see the Yamagadon, there's berachot on. You go out in the month of Nisan, you see new fruit trees. So the Hasid, what does he do? He always goes around to look for these extra berachot, because he can praise God on the wonderful creation that he made. Which berachot? These berachot, that's why the Pasuk says, V'hasidecha yivarechucha. The Hasidim, they can't wait to find an opportunity to make such berachot. Specifically, the berachot that praise God on His creation. Hashem bara bo, b'riyot tovot, b'ilanot tovot. But there's another explanation. Who's the Hasid? The Hasid is the Kohen. Why is the Kohen a Hasid? Do you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu blessed the Kohanim, Shevet Levi? What does the Pasuk say? Ulelevi amar, Tumecha ve'urecha le'ish hasidecha. The Kohanim are called hasidecha. According to the Kabbalah, they're called hasidecha because they're from Vidat HaChesed, the Kohanim. That's why God gives them the ability to bless the Jewish people. And what's the blessing of the Kohanim? How does the blessing start? Ko tevarechu et b'nei Yisrael amor lahem. Ko tevarechu. So the Pasuk is saying, V'hasidecha, that's the Hasidim, that's the Kohanim, yibarechu cha. They will bless you with the blessing of ka. Ka is ko. Ko, ko tibarechu b'nei Yisrael, amor lahem. That's on the derash. Kevod malkutecha yomeru, ugmuratecha yedaberu. You know, it's amazing that we're able to say Ashrei so fast with all these kavanot. It's amazing. We can do all this in 25 seconds. Read the whole Ashrei, and I'm assuming everybody has these kavanot in mind. Shneinu matov harkeinu. We're unbelievable. This is the geniuses of the world that we can encompass so much in such a short amount of time. Maybe that's why when the Hasidim, they wrote in their books, Tefillat Shacharit should take anywhere between an hour and a half and 2 hours. Hour and a half and 2 hours. If we go 42 minutes, already these guys are complaining, change the Azar, he's too slow, he doesn't, the Amidah is too long. The reason why we're not getting the full impact out of our Tefillot is because we're not giving ourselves enough time to massage the words, to feel the meaning. Okay, Kevod Malchutcha Yomeru, I told you already, Malchutcha refers to Teva. That's the Malchut. The kingdom of God is Teva. Givura is above the Teva. So David HaMelech says, Kevod Malchutcha, now there's a difference in Yomeru and Yedaberu, the Malbim says. Yomeru is a short conversation. Yedaberu is a long conversation. So Kevod Malchutecha Yomeru. When it comes to the natural order of the world, the Teva, Yomeru, well, we'll speak about it. Umuratecha. When it comes to the miracles that you do, the supernatural, Yedaberu. I'm going to speak at, like we do on El Pesach. We spend the whole night, Yechon HaMarbe, Areza Meshubah. Leodia Lebnei Adam Gevurotav, Uchvod Hadar Malchuto. Again, the goal is lehodiyal me'adam, not to keep it to yourself. Givurotav, which is the supernatural, uchvod adar malchuto, is the natural. Malchutecha, malchut kol olamim, u'memshaltecha bechol dor vador. Now this is a pasuk that is similar. What does it mean? Malchutecha, malchut kol olamim. Literally, your kingdom is forever. No kingdom is forever. The Nazis, Yemach Shemam V'Zichram, they said they're going to have the 1,000-year kingdom. They made a statement like that. The kingdom is going to last for 1,000 years. Where are they? They rose and they fell. Like the Romans. Nobody would ever believe the Romans would ever fall from power. They were so strong in their heyday as the Greeks and as well as any other power. It's hard for us to imagine that even the Malchut that we have is part of the same formula. We don't pray for the downfall of anything. But no kingdom and no government historically lasted forever. Even though as Americans we say, nah, this is a different system. This is, we figured it out finally. Communism, 70 years, boom, it fell. Who would have believed it? The only kingdom that has outlived all the kingdoms, Malchutecha, Malchut kol olamim. Your kingdom is forever. U'memshaltecha bechol dor vador. Now over here, it's similar to what Nebuchadnezzar said, Nehemiah Nebuchadnezzar Rasha. But he has a good line, Nebuchadnezzar, so we have to say it. Nebuchadnezzar made this line after he witnessed the miracle of Hashem. When Mishael, Hananiah, V'Azariah, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and they got saved, he witnessed an open miracle. So he said, Malchute Malchut Alam V'Shultane Indar V'Dar. What do they mean? Malchute Malchut Alam. It's like this pasuk. Malchutecha Malchut Kol Olamim. Veshultane imdar vedar u'memshaltecha dechol dor vador. What's the meaning? So the meaning is like this. Malchutecha, as I explained to you already in the chapter, is teva. Even when God makes a miracle, the miracles that He makes are usually temporarily, and then immediately the world goes back to its natural order. Kiryat Yamsuf, it split temporarily. Right after the last Egyptian the last Jew ended, it went back to its natural order, and there was no proof that a miracle even ever happened. The world always returns back to the natural. Shemesh Begiv on Dom. The sun stopped. Right after the miracle was over, the world just goes back to natural. That's what we say. Malchutecha, Malchut Kol Olamim. The natural order always exists throughout the generations. However, u'mimshaltecha, that's referring to the supernatural order, b'chol dor v'dor. That's in every generation, there's a sporadic, temporary halt to the natural order of the world. Whereas the teva is malchutecha b'chol kol olamim, that's constant. U'mimshaltecha, but once in a while you see the Mimshara Bashem. That's the Gibura. That's not constant. That's in every generation. Maybe you have a miracle or two. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was saying. But the Shultan, like we saw the miracle that happened to Mishael Hananiah Bar Azariah. Oh, what happens over here? We should have a nun in the next pasuk. We just finished mem. We jumped to somech. The Gemara says, what happened to the nun? Gemara, we don't want nun. Because nun stands for nefila. Nafla. Lo tuchal kum betulat Yisrael. We don't want to refer to the falling of the Klal Yisrael. Of our going down, our dissension. So therefore, David HaMelech, he left the nun. Now you might ask, why is the nun used for Nefila? Why is that the letter that God chose for falling? So I can explain to you. Bil'am al-Asha, when he was cursing the Jewish people and it turned into a blessing, he said, "Hena'am lebadad yishkon, ubegui lo yitchashav." Hena'am lebadad yishkon. The Jewish people are an isolationist nation. There's no hena'am lebadad. They live alone. The Mefarshim say, "What does the word hen mean?" So they say, the letters he and nun are letters that are isolated in the alphabet. They have no partner. So they say. Let's say I want to get to the digit of 10. So I take an aleph and a tit. Makes 10 as a partner. Bet and bet. I have 10. Gimel and Zayin. I have 10. Dalit and Vav. I have 10. Who's out? The he. The he stands alone. There's no letter that I can include with the he to make a complete 10. So the he stands alone. Now let's say I want to go to make 100. So I take the yud. The yud and the what? Sadi. Sadi is 90. Yud and sadi is 90. I take the chaf. Chaf and pe. I get 100. Lamed and ayin. I have 100. Mem and Samich, I have 100. Nun, I'm stuck. So the Nun also stands alone. So Bil'am says, Hen, the Jewish people like the letters Hen. They're like He and Nun. They have no partners. There's nobody else like them. They isolate themselves from the world. They're not intermarried. They're not mingled with anybody. Hen, they're like the letters Hen, Nun. Once you know that that's the secret of the letter Nun, so now we understand another thing. The letter Nun stands alone. Anything that stands alone, that doesn't have any support, what happens to it? It falls. Therefore, Nun is the letter of Nefila. All the nations of the world, they support each other. They make alliances, they have groups. Jewish people, anybody ever make alliance with us? We stand alone. Therefore, when we cling to God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. But when we leave God, then already Hashem's not with us, we have the Nun. Nun is alone, Nun is Nefila. That's the reason why they chose that letter. Good. Now, David alluded to this in the next pasuk when he said, "Sumech Hashem, dechod nofelim." Mitzokev lechol hakevufim. He didn't mention nun, but he said it on the positive way. Sonech Hashem lechol hanofilim. Don't worry, even if Klal Yisrael falls, even if we make amirot, even if we're under the depths of the exile, Sonech Hashem is going to lift up all the ones that fall. Mitzokev lechol hakevufim. And God makes even the kafuf, the one that's hunched, stand erect. What does that mean? Borei Olam helps everybody with their self-esteem. Even the ani. Doesn't mean he's going to give him money. Not every man becomes wealthy. V'zokev lechol hakevufim means God even gives the one that's down a certain pride and self-esteem where he's able to be zokef, where he's able to stand erect. Oh, now we get to the major pesukim of the chapter. Ein echol elecha yisaberu ve'ata noten lahem et ochlam be'ito. Ein echol, the eyes of everybody, elecha yisaberu. They look at you with hope. Hope for what? Ve'ata noten lahem et ochlam be'ito. And you give them their food in its proper time. Borei Olam is different than all other kings. All other governments and kings, what do? From their subjects, they collect taxes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the opposite. The subjects look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he gives. He doesn't ask for a tax. Borei Olam gives. Now what does it mean? Bi'ito. In the right time. So there's a famous Gemara in Ketubot. Gemara says that one time there was a Ani. He came in front of Rava. It's good Motzei Shabbat, we tell these stories of the Gemara. He came in front of Rava and for tzedakah. So Rava says, what do you need? He says, well, I'm accustomed of eating pheasant, like a chicken, stuffed chicken, with a little wine. He says, don't you think that's being a burden on the sibur? We'll give you a little fasulye, we'll give you a little jadra, like a pheasant with wine now. Aren't you burning the sibur? He says, I don't get from the sibur. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send me anything I want. Anyway, what happened? Exactly. The Gemara says in the interim, Rava's sister came. He hadn't seen his sister in 13 years. So his sister brought him a gift. What did she bring the rabbi? Pheasant and some wine. The rabbi says, wow. The guy, hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it to him. He says, it must be, if she gave me this, Hashem didn't give it to me. It's for you. So with this, the Gemara explains the pasuk. The Ani told the rabbi. It doesn't say, Ve'ata noten lahem et ochlam bi'itam. It says, Ve'ata noten lahem et ochlam bi'ito. It's written in the singular tense. That means each person gets what he needs. Not bi'ita, meaning general. Everybody gets personalized from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, he says, well, I'm not going to, God's rich. God to give me and provide for me for anything. Okay. Again, tonight I'm not going into the Kavanot. We did that many times already, the Kavanot of this Pasuk. It's well documented in our library of Shiurim. Tonight we just came to explain Pishuto Shel Mikra. Pishuto Shel Mikra. God opens his hands. Chedecha is referring to God. Umasbiya lechol hai rasom. God gives everybody two things. He gives them masbiya, that's sivia, satiation, and then also ratzon, what he wants, what he desires. That means not only does he give us what we need, but he also gives us extra. That's two things. Umasbiya lechol hai, ratzon, but he also gives us ratzon, I want. I want a little of this, I want a little of that. It's not necessities. That's one interpretation. Incidentally, our custom is to open our hands during Poteh al Chadecha. But don't misinterpret the Pasuk. Poteh al Chadecha doesn't mean you open your hands. Poteh al Chadecha is he opens it, we open it to receive. I told you one time I was sitting next to Aryeh Deri, from the former Shas minister. So he was going like this. His hands were next to each other. And I was going like this. So he said, Hachem Eliyahu, you go like this, the beracha falls on the floor. You have to go like this in order to catch. I said, no, my friend, you're going like this, so God has to send you a small beracha. I go like this, I come back and send me a big beracha. Wait a minute, Hashem, each one according to his beracha, you go like this, Hashem sends you a small little couple of fasulye. I go like this, he sends me a big thing over here, because he sees it. He's not going to drop it on the floor. He says, be a big baraka. Hey, he says, very good. Answer him. Anyway, I heard once from Rav Shimon Schwab, he explained this pasuk. What does it mean? He gives, or he satisfies each person with ratzon. So he writes, in life, in order to get places in whatever career you are, whether you're a teacher or a professor, or whether you're a businessman or a salesman, whatever career you're in, to get places you need to have ratzon. Ratzon means you need to be accepted. Most people, why do they get the job? It's because the person that's interviewing them for some reason likes that person. It's not only based on the credentials. Because usually you could have 5-6 people that all have the same credentials. Why did the person choose this one to give him the job as opposed to the other? Because in his eyes you found a certain ratzon. He has a certain desire for you. When you pray, you have to pray, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please let me find or give me ratzon that in the eyes of the people I should be accepted. Why, when one person goes to the desk in the hotel and asks for an upgrade, they say, no upgrades. Another guy walks in, do me a favor, could you upgrade me? Yeah, okay, doesn't make any sense. This one had ratzon and this one doesn't have ratzon. It's always like that in life. So you have to pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu in any encounter that I have, it should be with ratzon. It goes even further. When you talk about product, that's an amazing thing. Why are certain products accepted on the market? It's only because the Kadosh Baruch Hu put a ratzon in the people to go after this product. Mashal. You have a guy, he wakes up one morning, he has an idea. He's going to take a beautiful pair of new jeans, and he's going to make them look like they were worn already for 35 years, and he's going to put holes in them, and he's going to sell them as pre-worn, pre-washed, pre-everything. You say to yourself, the next guy's neighbor says, Hamor, what kind of this? I'm going to go and sell perfectly new, clean jeans. You say to yourself, who's going to win? The guy, this guy's no shot. And all of a sudden, the guy who's selling the old, dirty, ripped jeans, he can't produce enough of them. The people are buying them off the shelves. What's the explanation? Ratzon. Who puts a ratzon in the people? And that's what you have to pray for. It doesn't matter what product you sell. Don't you understand? The product doesn't mean anything. If there's a ratzon, they'll buy anything. If you think of all the gimmicks that people became millionaires from, they're not always the smartest products that conventional wisdom says you're going to succeed. What did they have? They had ratzon. And that's what you have to pray for. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu should make it that the people will want your product. Ratzon. He gives them ratzon. Now I'll tell you one hadush on the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, "Sadik Adonai bechol derachav, la'asi bechol ma'asav." It's a strange pasuk that simply doesn't belong in the chapter. All of a sudden, we're making tzedukah kedin over here. Whatever you do, Hashem, you're a tzaddik. We accept. This is not a chapter of accepting. This is a chapter of praise. All of a sudden, David switches gears on us. Tzaddik Hashem bechol derachav, la'hasid bechol ma'asav. Everything you do, hasid. What's the explanation? So I once heard a hadush from my rabbi Chacham Baruch Alav Hashalom. Chacham Baruch said like this. I was once praying with him in the Lawrence Avenue synagogue, and I was sitting next to him. And it was Minhan Erev Shabbat. And we were saying Poteh Hachadecha. So he asked me, Muhammad Yao, why? Right after you say Poteh Hachadecha, he says, Sadiq Hashem Bechol Derecha. He said like this. Because after a person says Poteh Hachadecha, he's praying for Parnassah. What goes in his mind? Hashem, I don't have enough parnassah. How come you gave so much to this guy, and you didn't give me? You didn't give me half the amount. Once already you start to think about your money, everybody starts to think, hey, this guy next to me is not even half as religious, and look at all he gets. So right after you say Poteh Hachadecha, and you start to question God, you say to yourself, Sadiq Adonai Bechol Derachav, Ba'asev Bechol Ma'asev. You know what? I accept. No matter what I think I deserve or what I think I got shortchanged, you're a tzaddik Hashem. You don't have to answer to me. Whatever you do is betzedik, it's righteous. Karov Adonai lechol koreav lechol asheikra'u be'emet. Simple. Karov Hashem lechol koreav. God is close to all those that call Him. Well, it sounds like the pasuk is saying, whoever calls to God, He'll answer. Ah, so David HaMelech says, no, it doesn't work that way. Lechol asher yikra'u be'emet. You have to be sincere. That's why many people ask, Rabbi, I pray and pray and pray. It doesn't say pray. It says, Lechol asher yikra'u be'emet. Rav Samson Rafael Hirsch says, what does it mean be'emet? What does it mean be'emet? I'm praying, it's emet, I'm praying, I need it. So he says like this, God is close to those that want to be close to Him. When you're praying, if the purpose of your prayer is sincere, it means you pray because you want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if all you're praying for is for the item, and once you get the item, you run away, I don't want to talk to Hashem anymore, I don't want to do any mitzvot. So you're not sincere. You're using a Kadosh Baruch Hu like a vending machine, where you need an item, so you're going to try to get it. So he says, Karov Hashem lechol koreav, God is close to all that call out him, lechol asher yikra'u be'emet. Of course you need things, but the purpose of praying is, like I told you many times, tefillah means to tie, to bond. If your intention in tefillah is just to receive, and then once you receive it, you run, that's not be'emet. This is a fundamental principle of tefillah. But again, I'm cutting short so I can go to the pesukim. But there's one thing you have to know about this pasuk, and maybe you paid note to it. This pasuk is different than all the pesukim in the entire perek. Every pasuk in Ashrei has the letter Vav. Start from the beginning. Tehillah le David, Aron Melkado Hayah Melech, Va'avarecha Shemcha Leolam Ba'ed. Gadol Anuayim Mulal Me'od, Ve'ligdulato, El Heke. Dor le Dor Yishabach Ma'asecha, Ugvorotecha, Yagidu. Hadar Kevod Odecha, Ve'divre, every pasuk is linked with the letter Vav. Proteach Echadecha, Umasbiya, Lechot Hayratzon. The only pasuk that does not have the link of the Vav is this pasuk. Karov Adonai lechol koreav, lechol asher yikra'u be'emet. What is the reason for this? So I'm going to tell you the way the Mekubalim explain it. Because that's the only way we can explain it. The Kabbalah writes that the letter Vav is called the letter of Emet. Ot Dekshot. It's the letter of Emet. Doesn't tell you why. But the letter Vav, whenever you see a Vav, Emet. David HaMelech wanted to impress upon us the value of this chapter. So in every single pasuk, he put Ot Emet to link the beginning of the pasuk to the second part of the pasuk with Ot Emet. To remind you that these are the values of Emet. However, in this pasuk he didn't have to say the word Vav. Why? Because he wrote the word Emet in actuality. If I wrote the word Emet, I don't have the word Vav. But I need to explain to you on a simple level, why is Vav Ot Emet? Why should it be that way? I'll explain to you this one thing and we'll continue the next, because I don't want to cut you short. There's more to say. We'll continue this next week and we'll go to the next Hallelujah as well. So we're going to continue Pesukim de Zorah. So it's all connected. The Vav, maybe when you were younger and you went to grammar school, they taught you about Vav HaChibur. You ever heard that Vav HaChibur? The Vav that connects. The Vav that connects two words together. There's different types of Vavs. There's Vav HaHipuch. That's the Vav that changes the tense. Then there's Vav HaChibur. Like we read in this week's parasha. Ve'elle HaMishpatim. Ve'elle is Vav HaChibur. It's connecting the last parasha with this parasha. Ve'elle HaMishpatim. I'm going to tell you on a deeper level why they call it Vav HaChibur. The Zohar HaKadosh writes, Yisrael ve'olaita kutsha berichu hadha. You know what that means? There's three entities or beings in the world. They are all equal to each other and they are all one. Yisrael, kutsha berichu ve'olaita. The Jewish people and the Torah and God, it's all A equals B, B equals C, that means A equals C, it's a transitive. It's all things are equal. It's all one. We are God. How are we God? Because we have a neshama in us. The neshama is hadakil kami ma'a. So you say, eskucha berichu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the Torah. Him and his da'at is all one. So the Torah is God. God is the Torah. And the Jewish people have a piece of God. So we're also Torah. It's all, you need these three items. The three principles or foundations of Emet in the world are Israel, Olaita, Kodesh Berichu. Those are the three foundations of Emet. You need all three, are connected. You cannot separate them. If you take the letter Vav, there's three ways I can spell the letter Vav. Vav, Aleph Vav. Vav, Vav. Or Vav, Yud Vav. Yes? That's the three ways, and according to the books, you can spell Vav. These three ways are very significant. Vav, Vav, the easiest way, is how much? 12. That's the Kenegi, the 12 Shevatim. That's Israel. Vav, Aleph Vav, is 13. That's Echad, Gematria. That's Kutsha Berichu. Vav, Yud Vav, is 22. That's Kenegi, the 22 letters of the alphabet that the Torah was written. That's Olaita. Therefore, the three ways we spell Vav is connected Yisrael, Kutsha Berichu, Olaita. That's why we call it Vav HaChibur. Because the Vav is Mechaber all the three entities together. That's why Vav is Ot Emet. Vav, according to Zohar, is Ot Emet because the Vav alludes to us these three concepts. That's why David HaMelech made sure to put a Vav in every Pasuk. But when he came to Karov Hashem, they called Koreav. He didn't have to say it because he said they called Hashem Kiru Be'emet. The word itself manifests itself. Yiratzon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Zechut. Listen, if just by saying the chapter three times you get Olam Abba, imagine if you learn the chapter, that already Vadai Kal Vachomer Muftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Abba. So Bezat Hashem in the Zechut that we spent Motzei Shabbat studying the chapter of Tehillat David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Haftaha that we should be Zocheh L'Chaye Netzach.